Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNC 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Let's talk about science.
Yeah.
Okay. The Ig Nobel Awards. The annual awards ceremony features strange things in science that people did, typically with government grants and whatnot.
Okay.
They have them in different categories. Biology.
Okay.
Tomoko Kojima, Kazuta Oishi, Yasushi Matsubara, and others. They received this for their experiments to learn whether cows painted with zebra-like striping can avoid being bitten by flies.
Wait, flies don't bite zebras?
Like,
I guess
like,
not.
Are they colorblind to them because of the stripes rather than the spots?
They say any dairy farmer can tell you that biting flies are a pestilent scourge for cattle herds, which is why you often see cows throwing their heads around and stomping their feet and flicking their tails. They say zebras. Scientists have long debated the function of the zebra's distinctive black and white striped pattern. Is it for camouflage, confusing potential predators, or is it to repel these pesky flies? They decided to put the latter hypothesis to the test by painting zebra stripes on six pregnant Japanese black cows at the Agricultural Research Center in Japan. They used waterborne lacquers that washed away after a few days so the cows could take turns being in three different groups: zebra stripes, just black stripes, and no stripes. The zebra stripes significantly decreased both the number of biting flies on the cattle and the animal's fly-repelling behaviors compared to those with black stripes or no stripes. The one exception was for skin twitching, because this is the least energy-intensive of those behaviors. So it might have...
So it worked.
That one worked.
Okay, but so then what's the solution?
Paint the cows.
You have to paint your cows?
Oh.
Like, that doesn't seem like a cost-effective method of anything.
Imagine driving by a farm and seeing all these zebra-painted cows. I would die.
Wow, look at those cows. You'd think they're zebras.
The farmer was a lunatic.
Yeah, especially if you catch them painting the cow. What the hell is happening? It's for the flies.
Give it a year or so. Somebody will have an invention where the cows just walk through, and it's like a drive-through car wash.
Yeah, like a spray tan.
Yeah.
Sprays them.
Smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Start to invest.
All right. How about the Ig Nobel Award for Chemistry?
But why don't flies like zebras? I don't get it.
That's what they're trying. That's probably the next research. So are they going to paint zebras a solid color and go, how you like the flies now?
Give them a fur coat.
Yeah, you got to try it the other way and see what happens.
In chemistry, Rotem Naftalovich, Daniel Naftalovich, and Frank Greenway, one of these things not like the other, for experiments to test whether eating Teflon is a good way to increase food volume and help people be satiated without increasing calorie content. You know, when you use an old Teflon pan, which I don't think they sell anymore.
Yeah, I thought that was cancer causing. And so these guys are seeing like, hey, maybe it'll be a good diet suppression.
Well, they think it'll help you feel fuller if you get bits of Teflon in your food, I guess.
Right.
Without increasing calorie content. Okay. Diet sodas and other zero-calorie drinks are a mainstay of the modern diet thanks to the development of artificial sweeteners whose molecules can't be metabolized. The authors of this paper are intrigued by the notion of zero-calorie foods, which they believe could be achieved by increasing the satisfying volume and mass of food without increasing calories.
I don't think I want Teflon in my food.
Polytetrafluorothylene, PFTE, more commonly known as Teflon, as I will say it from now on.
Yeah.
The stuff they use on nonstick cookware. They insist Teflon is inert, heat resistant, impervious to stomach acid, tasteless, cost-effective, and available in a handy powder form for mixing into your food. They recommend a ratio of 3 parts food to 1 part Teflon powder. So, like, if I make a grilled cheese, I have to, like, have a layer of Teflon powder in there?
Like, wow. Like, yeah, 3 to 1? That seems like a lot of Teflon.
The authors say they understand that the average layperson, this is going to sound like a phenomenally bad idea.
Yes, it does. You're right.
Saying, quote, I would prefer not to eat powdered Teflon. So they spend many paragraphs citing all of the scientific studies on the safety of Teflon. It didn't hurt rats in feeding trials.
Nice.
As well as many applications for which it's being already used. These include Teflon-coated stirring rods used in labs and coatings on medical devices like bladder catheters, gynecological implants, as well as the catheters used for in vitro fertilization. The guys, you'll be happy to know that Teflon doesn't seem to affect sperm motility or viability. I suspect this will be a hard sell in the consumer marketplace.
I suspect that's correct.
Yeah.
Eat new Teflon.
I'd rather eat a sponge.
Yeah.
That'll keep me from being hungry,
or
too.
Like models where they would eat a cotton ball or a piece of paper, we've heard in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. Or hear me out on this. Eat less.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I would just eat less rather than go, you know what? I think I'll fill up on a little Teflon.
The Ig Nobel Awards for Curious Sciences in Physics. A bunch of Italians, Giacomo Bartolucci, Daniel Maria Buselio, Matteo Seracci, Alberto Cotticelli, and Ivan D. Terlizzi, Fabrizio Almeida, and David Ravignas.
I was hoping one of them would have a name like, and Todd Brown.
Me too. Have been given the Ig Nobel Award for physics because of their discoveries about the physics of? What did these Italians discover?
Oh, spaghetti.
Pasta sauce.
Of course.
The physics of pasta sauce.
Specifically, the phase transition that can lead to clumping, which can be a cause of unpleasantness in your pasta sauce.
Oh, I hate clumpy sauce.
I like a little chunk. I like a big chunk of tomato in there or something.
Pasta alla cacio e pepe is a simple dish, just tonnarelli pasta, pecorino cheese, and pepper. Did I get any of that right?
I don't know.
That sounds right. Yeah.
But its simplicity is deceptive. The dish is notoriously challenging to make because it's so easy for the sauce to form unappetizing clumps with a texture more akin to stringy mozzarella than being smooth and creamy.
Wait, how do you end up making pasta sauce clumpy?
I guess it's the combination with the cheese and stuff. Italian physicists come to the rescue with a foolproof recipe based on their many scientific experiments, according to a new paper published within the Journal of Physics of Fluids. What a good read.
Wait, what was that journal called?
The Journal of Physics of Fluids.
Oh my gosh.
The trick, use cornstarch for the cheese and pepper sauce instead of relying on however much starch leaches into the boiling water as the pasta cooked. This was science. The authors found that the correct starch ratio is between 2-3% of the cheese weight. Below that, you get clumping. Above that, the sauce becomes stiff and unappetizing as it cools. So I guess that worked. I'm not sure.
Maybe it's just aroused.
I mean, cooking is basically chemistry, right?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
I never have this problem with ragu.
No. Yeah, just dump it in.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't need your stupid authentic stuff.
All right. How about the Ig Nobel Award?
Stuff tastes good and it doesn't clump.
How about for engineering design?
Okay. All right. I like it. I think engineering and design is cool.
I feel like I can wrap my head around these a little bit easier than the physics or the chemistry ones.
If you had to guess the nation of origin for the engineers who performed this study, does any nation
come
to mind? Nope.
I would have said German.
That would be the first one.
Perhaps Dutch.
Nope. Vikash Kumar and Sartak Mittal received the award from an engineering design perspective. How foul-smelling shoes affects the good experience of a shoe rack. Kelly, you got a shoe rack?
I do have a shoe rack.
Howings?
I don't.
I do.
I
got a shoe rack.
Steve?
Yeah.
Do foul-smelling shoes ruin the experience?
The experience?
Of putting shoes on a
shoe rack?
On a shelf made for shoes?
I would have never looked at that and said that was a good experience or a bad experience.
Does it hold the shoes? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it could... Yes, it could ruin it.
I don't think it would affect the shoe rack as much as I would think, wow, my shoes stink. I should get rid of them.
Yeah, I don't want stinky shoes next to clean shoes. I don't want that.
I'm with you.
This is why I always wear socks.
Mm-hmm. If they smell so badly that it's ruining your shoe rack, get rid of the shoes.
Yeah, seems
well,
like
they
a real
say
problem.
Shoe odor is a universal problem, even in India, according to the authors of this paper.
Oh, even in India. Okay.
All that heat and humidity means people perspire profusely when engaging even in modern physical activity. Add in the lack of ventilation and washing, and shoes become a breeding ground for odor-causing bacteria. This is not news.
No, this is...
Nobody has studied why the smell... Nobody, according to these authors, had taken the time to study how the smelly shoe problem affects shoe rack happiness. I am quoting here.
You know, I'm... very unhappy with my shoe rack, and I just can't put my finger on it. It's the smell.
Kumar and Mittal, who conducted a pilot study with the help of 149 first-year Students, more than half, reported feeling uncomfortable about their own or someone else's smelly shoes, and 90% kept their shoes in a shoe rack. That's what we learned. Indian engineering students are big on shoe racks.
Okay.
Wow.
Common methods to combat the odor included washing shoes, drying them in the sun, using spray deodorant, sprinkling the shoes with an antibacterial powder.
They were socks.
Unaware of the many current odor combating products on the market, such as tea tree and coconut oil solutions, thyme oil, or isopropyl alcohol.
Isopropyl alcohol.
How do I get all the words that I don't know, right?
I don't know.
And then screw up alcohol.
Mess up
I
mean, like salt.
Yeah.
True. They said, clearly there's an opportunity to make a killing in the odor-resistant shoe rack market. That's not the problem.
It's not the rack, the shoe doesn't stink.
Yeah, no.
It's not the rack's fault. It's the shoes.
Yeah, it transfers it.
Are you tired of your milk going bad in the fridge? Well, we're inventing new fridges that don't account for time. They exist in a space where there is no time because the fridge is causing it to go bad.
Listen, for 50 years, we've been following a doctor whose name is Scholes, who's got this figured out already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, these guys developed, because this is for engineering and design.
Okay.
Naturally, Kumar and Mittal decided to design their own version of a shoe rack using bacteria-killing UV rays as their built-in odor eater, testing the shoe device on many athletes from the university whose shoes had, quote, strong, noticeable odor.
Yes.
They concluded that an exposure time of 2 to 3 minutes sufficiently kills the bacteria to get rid of the odor.
Okay, so there is like a little thing. I've seen it with people who do their like come home and relax with me videos type of recaps after work. And they take their shoes off and put them in what looks like to be something that maybe, I want to say steams them, but gives them like a fresh 2 or 3 minutes of air flowing through them. And it seems like it's just a way to keep your shoes fresh, whether you wear socks or not.
So it's almost like a shoe dry cleaner.
Yeah, a little bit, but it's express.
Like it's not hot or it's not wet. It just.
And it's not a whole rack of them. It's one thing that you would put the shoes you wore that day. It's great for tennis shoes and boots.
Yeah.
And I've thought that's super nice.
That is a pretty good idea. So these guys spend a lot of time doing something that may already have a solution.
Yeah.
So far, the dumbest one is eat Teflon, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Well, we've got.
When they said it's a hard sell, you're right. That is going to be a hard sell.
The Ig Nobel Awards for aviation, psychology, nutrition, pediatrics, literature, and more still. Pediatrics makes me nervous because a lot of these seem like bad ideas. So let's involve some kids.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.